This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use feedback effectively during an employee probation period. A practical system for giving feedback that actually sticks when it matters most. In short, after reading this, you will be able to give clear, structured feedback during an employee probation period that guides performance and builds trust from day one. Prepare specific, observable feedback before every conversation. Keep a consistent schedule of check-ins throughout the probation window. Always pair correction with a clear picture of what success looks like. Definition: probation period feedback is structured, specific communication delivered to a new employee during their trial period. It clarifies performance expectations, identifies gaps early, and gives the employee a direct path to meeting the standard required to confirm their role. A manager once told me about a probationary employee she let go after 3 months. When I asked whether the person had known they were in trouble, she went quiet. "I thought they could tell," she said. "They could not." 3 months of vacance, missed conversations, and general encouragement had left that person completely blindsided. The ending was painful for everyone involved, and it was entirely avoidable. This happens more than most managers want to admit. The difficulty is really a lack of care. It is a lack of structure. Probation period feedback feels high stakes, and that pressure makes people either go too soft or too clinical, and neither approach works. There is also a deeper fear that honest feedback will damage the relationship before it has had a chance to form. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for probation period feedback that you can use immediately. If you want to understand how structured feedback operates more broadly in a team setting, how feedback loops boost team synergy is worth your time as a companion read. Why probation feedback is harder than it looks. Knowing that feedback matters and actually being able to deliver it well are two very different things. Most managers understand the importance of guiding a new employee. Far fewer have a reliable system for doing it. Here is what makes probation period feedback genuinely difficult. You are still building the relationship. Delivering hard feedback to someone you have known for 3 weeks feels like a risk. You do not yet know how they receive criticism, and you do not want to crush their confidence before they have settled in. New employees often mask their struggles. People on probation are trying to impress you. They will not always tell you when they are confused or overwhelmed. This means you're working with incomplete information and must observe carefully, not just listen. The feedback feels consequential. When a probation period ends in non-confirmation, managers sometimes look back and wonder whether they gave the person a fair chance. That weight makes some managers pull their punches when they should be direct. Vague standards make feedback almost impossible. If the role expectations were not defined clearly at the start, every feedback conversation becomes an argument about interpretation rather than a conversation about improvement. Time pressure distorts priorities. Probation periods pass faster than they feel. Managers get busy, check-ins slide, and before long 3 months have gone by with almost no useful feedback delivered. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What do you need before you start? Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. If any of these are absent, go back and establish them before your first formal feedback conversation. Number 1. Defined role standards. You need a written, specific description of what good performance looks like in this role during the probation window. Not a job description or print, but a short list of observable behaviours and outcomes that tell you the person is on track. Without this, your feedback has no anchor. To explore how clarity of role supports everything that follows, what is role clarity and why it is the foundation of sustainable team synergy lays this out clearly. Number 2. A scheduled feedback cadence. Decide upfront how often you will meet formally. Weekly for the first month, fortnightly after that, is a strong default. When check-ins are booked in advance, they happen. When they are left to chance, they do not. Number 3. A documentation system. Keep a simple, consistent record of every feedback conversation: the date, what was discussed, what was agreed, and what the next step is. This is not bureaucracy. It protects both you and the employee, and it creates a clear picture of progress over time. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Observe before you speak. This step requires patience, but it is the foundation of every credible feedback conversation you will have. Feedback that is not grounded in specific observation is just opinion. Before any formal check-in, you need concrete examples of behavior, not a general impression. This means watching how the person performs tasks, handles setbacks, interacts with colleagues, and responds to direction. Keep a short daily note of specific things you observe, both positive and developmental. Note the situation, the behavior, and the impact, not just the outcome. Avoid drawing conclusions from single incidents. Look for patterns across at least a week. Distinguish between skill gaps and confidence gaps. They require different responses. Note what the person does well with the same rigor you apply to what needs work. Here is what this looks like in practice. A new team member, 2 weeks into her role, repeatedly sent client emails without copying in the account lead. You noticed this happening 3 times across different clients. You wrote a note each time: date, recipient, what was missing, and the potential impact on client relationships. When you sit down with her, you are not working from a feeling. You are working from a record. That specificity changes everything about the conversation that follows. Once you have a solid base of observation, you are ready to structure the feedback itself. Step 2. Prepare your feedback before the meeting. Working into a probation feedback conversation without preparation is one of the most common mistakes I have seen, and I have made it myself. You end up speaking in generalities, the employee leaves confused, and nothing changes. Preparation means deciding, before you sit down, exactly what you want to address, how you will frame it, and what outcome you are aiming for. It takes 10 minutes. It changes the quality of the entire conversation. For a structured one-on-one approach that pairs well with this step, one-on-one feedback sessions. Proven Structures offers a solid companion framework. Choose no more than 2 developmental points per session. More than that overwhelms a new employee. For each point, write down the specific behavior, the impact it has, and the standard you expect. Identify at least one thing the person is doing well to open with genuinely, not as flattery. Prepare a question to invite their perspective, so the conversation goes both directions. Decide in advance what a clear next step looks like, so the meeting ends with direction. After preparation, your feedback becomes a tool, not a reaction. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Deliver feedback using a clear structure. How you deliver feedback matters as much as what you say. Structure is not rigidity, it is respect. It tells the other person that you have thought carefully about this conversation. A method I have used for years follows 3 movements: describe the behavior you observed, name the impact it had, and state the standard you expect going forward. This keeps the conversation grounded in fact rather than judgment. The SBVI method: situation, behavior, impact is one of the clearest frameworks for this kind of delivery. Open with something genuine and specific that the person is doing well. Describe the behavior you observed using neutral, factual language, not loaded interpretation. Name the impact clearly: what happened as a result, or what could happen if the pattern continues. State the expected standard in plain terms: what does good look like from here? Invite their response before moving to next steps. Here is a script you can adapt. I want to talk about the client emails this week. 3 times, the account lead was not copied in. When that happens, they miss key information, and clients sometimes get conflicting messages from our side. Going forward, every external client email needs to include the account lead. Does that make sense? Is there something making that hard to do? That script is specific, fair, and opens the door rather than closing it. Step 4. Listen and respond to what you hear. Too many feedback conversations are monologues disguised as dialogues. You deliver your points, ask does that make sense, get a nod, and move on. That is not feedback. That is broadcasting. Real feedback is two-directional. When you invite the employee to respond, listen to what they actually say. They may have context you do not. They may be struggling with something you have not spotted, or they may simply need a moment to process before they can engage. Give them that moment. Ask an open question after each main point. What has made that difficult? Or what would help you get there? Do not interrupt or finish their sentences. Let them find the words. If they push back, explore the pushback rather than defending your position immediately. Acknowledge what is valid in their response before you restate your expectation. Take notes on what they share, It signals that their input counts. What you hear in this part of the conversation often shapes what your next steps should be. A person who says I did not realize that was expected needs clarification. A person who says I have been trying but keep forgetting needs a system. Treat the response as data. Step 5. Agree on a specific next step. A feedback conversation without a clear next step is just a conversation. The moment of commitment, where both of you agree on one specific, measurable thing the employee will do differently, is what turns feedback into progress. This is where the GROW model is especially useful, identifying the goal, the current reality, the options available, and the specific way forward. How to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan walks through this in detail. Agree on 1 to 2 specific actions the employee will take before the next check-in. Make each action observable, something you can both confirm happened or did not happen. Set a clear time frame, not soon, but by Thursday or in the next 3 client emails. Write the agreed steps down and share them with the employee after the meeting. Confirm the date of the next check-in before you leave the room. Here's what this sounds like at the close of the conversation. So, from now until our next catch-up on Thursday, you'll copy in the account lead on every external client email. I will check in with you informally on Wednesday to see how it is going. Does that work? That is a commitment, not a hope. Once both parties are clear on the next step, the feedback has done its job. Step 6. Follow through between sessions. The check-in is not the end of the feedback cycle. What you do between formal sessions determines whether the feedback actually lands. If you raise a concern, agree on a next step, and then disappear until the next meeting, the employee gets a clear message this is not that important. Following through means staying observably present, noticing progress, and acknowledging it quickly when it happens. It also means addressing backslides promptly rather than saving everything for the next formal session. Acknowledge improvement in the moment, a brief, specific word the day you see it. If a pattern resurfaces, address it within 24 hours rather than filing it away. Check in informally midway between formal sessions. A 2-minute conversation counts. Share any relevant context or resource that supports the agreed next step. Keep updating your observation notes so your next formal session is already well prepared. Consistent follow-through between sessions builds the trust that makes the formal conversations easier over time. Step 7. Conduct a formal midpoint and end of probation review. Individual check-ins build a picture. The formal review at the midpoint and the end of the probation period puts that picture together. These conversations are different in character from weekly check-ins. They are broader, more structured, and they matter for the record. A good formal review looks backward and forward. What has the person achieved? Where have they grown? What still needs work? And what does the path forward look like? For guidance on making these structured conversations productive, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it, addresses the dynamics of feedback that unifies rather than fractures. Prepare a written summary of the feedback themes from the probation period, not a list of incidents, but a clear narrative of development. Share this summary with the employee before the meeting so they have time to reflect. Open the formal review by asking the employee to assess their own progress first. Address any unresolved concerns directly and without ambiguity. The formal review is not the place for softening. End with a clear statement of outcome confirmed, extended, or not continued, and the reasoning behind it. The end of probation review should contain no surprises. If it does, the feedback process earlier in the period failed. Adapting this process for remote probationary employees. Remote probation periods carry their own weight. The absence of physical presence removes many of the informal touchpoints that would naturally give you observational data in an office setting. You have to be more intentional about everything. Scheduled visibility matters more. Without corridor conversations or the chance to overhear how someone handles a situation, you must create structured moments of visibility. Daily brief stand-ups or shared project boards give you the observational data you need before feedback conversations. Communication is itself a performance signal. In a remote setting, how a new employee writes, responds to messages, and shows up in video calls tells you a great deal. Be specific when giving feedback on communication patterns, not just technical output. The role of communication in meeting success is useful context here, particularly for employees who are learning how to contribute in virtual meetings. Feedback delivery needs extra care. Video calls strip out a lot of the physical warmth that softens a difficult message in person. Slow down. Use the employee's name. Pause longer than feels comfortable to give them space to respond. Check in explicitly. How are you feeling about what we have just talked through? Documentation becomes the thread. When you are not sharing a physical workspace, written records of feedback conversations serve as the connective tissue of the relationship. Send a brief written summary after every formal session. The core process holds in remote environments. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid when giving probation feedback. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: waiting until the formal review to raise concerns. Why it happens: managers hope the issue will resolve itself, or they do not want early conflict. What to do instead? Address concerns within 1 week of observing them. Early feedback is kinder, not harsher. The mistake: giving feedback that is too general to act on. Why it happens: managers feel uncomfortable being specific about someone's shortcomings, especially early in the relationship. What to do instead? Name the specific behavior, the specific situation, and the specific impact. Generalities help no one. The mistake: focusing entirely on weaknesses and skipping what is working. Why it happens: the mind locks onto problems, especially when the stakes feel high. What to do instead? Open every feedback conversation with something genuine and specific the person is doing well. Balance is not flattery. It is accuracy. The mistake: accepting vague agreement instead of a clear commitment. Why it happens: the conversation feels resolved once the employee nods and says they understand. What to do instead? Always close with a specific, time-bound next step that both parties can confirm happened. The mistake: giving feedback in a public or semi-public setting. Why it happens: opportunity presents itself and the manager acts on impulse. What to do instead? Always deliver developmental feedback in private. Respect is not optional. The mistake: documenting nothing until things go wrong. Why it happens: documentation feels like administration when the relationship is positive. What to do instead? Keep a short record after every session, even good ones. You will need it. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each feedback cycle. Role standards and performance expectations are written down and shared with the employee. Formal check-in dates are booked for the full probation period. You've observed specific behaviours, not just formed a general impression. Before each session, you have chosen no more than 2 developmental points to address per session. You have identified at least 1 genuine strength to acknowledge. Your feedback names the behavior, the impact, and the expected standard. You've asked an open question and listened to the response before moving to next steps. A specific, time-bound next step is agreed and written down after each session. You have followed up informally between formal sessions. Your documentation is up to date after each conversation. The midpoint review has been conducted and documented. The end of probation outcome contains no surprises for the employee. If you can't check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured, practical system for probation period feedback that goes well beyond good intentions. You can observe with purpose, prepare with clarity, and deliver feedback in a way that actually changes behavior. Observe specific behaviors before every feedback conversation, not general impressions. Prepare your 2 main points, your genuine acknowledgement, and your next step before you sit down. Deliver feedback using a clear structure: behavior, impact, expected standard. Listen to the employee's response as real information, not just a formality. Always close with a specific, time-bound commitment from both sides. Follow through between sessions. The check-in is only part of the cycle. Ensure the formal end of probation review contains no surprises. From here, I would suggest reading How to Give Feedback that Strengthens Team Synergy instead of breaking it to see how the skills you build during probation carry forward into the life of the team. If you want to sharpen your one-on-one structure further, one-on-one feedback sessions. Proven Structures gives you the scaffolding to make every session count. Practice these steps on real conversations, not imagined ones. Probation period feedback, done well, is one of the most generous things a manager can offer. The clear, honest truth, delivered early enough to matter. Frequently asked questions. What is probation period feedback, and why does it matter? Probation period feedback is structured, specific communication given to a new employee during their trial period to clarify expectations and guide performance. It matters because this is the window where habits form. and early course corrections are far easier than late-stage interventions. How often should you give feedback during a probation period? You should give probation period feedback at least once a week during the first month, then fortnightly after that. Frequent, brief check-ins outperform single formal reviews. Consistency signals that you are invested in the person, not just monitoring them. What makes probation period feedback effective? Effective probation period feedback is specific, timely, and two-directional. It focuses on observable behaviors rather than personality traits, names the impact of those behaviors, and always gives the employee a clear path forward. Vague or delayed feedback rarely changes anything. How do you give constructive feedback to a probationary employee without damaging trust? Give feedback in private, focus on specific actions rather than character, and always follow criticism with a clear statement of what success looks like. Acknowledge what is going well alongside what needs to change. Trust builds when employees feel seen as capable, not just scrutinized. What should you document during an employee probation period? Document every formal feedback conversation, including the date, the specific behavior discussed, the standard expected, and any agreed next steps. This protects both the employee and the organization. Written records also help the employee track their own progress with clarity. Can feedback during probation be used to support an employee rather than just assess them? Absolutely. The best probation period feedback functions as coaching, not evaluation. When delivered with clarity and care, it gives a new employee the specific guidance they need to grow into the role confidently, rather than leaving them guessing what is expected. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.